So how many in the audience are what I shall call tenure aware? Tenure terrified. You can have whatever word you want. All right, so it's like late on the last day of the conference, so rather than talking about soaring rhetoric about where the world of publishing is going to go to, I'm simply just going to give you all my deadpan advice as an author. This is me in print. I figure you should at least know whether you should listen to me or not. Probably some of you have better track records than I do. But there's my H index, which I think is important, even though I don't understand what it is. In my 10 minutes, what I want to talk about are first some overall tips and then talk about kinds of publishing, writing as an author that I've done and give you some more specific tips. So here's overall tips. And I think folks have already said some of it. Have something to say. Data does not equal instantly interesting. As a reviewer, as a co-author, I can't tell you the number of times that I've read the article of, I can count this, therefore I can publish this. And the answer is, no, you should not publish this. Like, there was one person who had this data set from hell that they had mined every variable they could find on, and so finally it was like, do search queries change by time of day? I don't care. No one cares. So empirical, you know, just because data is good, but it doesn't instantly mean you actually have something to say about it. That turns into the more of, you know, here's how we do it good articles, where we're just constantly self-reporting on self-data and we're trying to figure out why it matters. Projects generate publications. If you are part of a project, whether it's funded project, whether it's a project with an institution, or whether it's a self-created project, I'm a huge fan of these, it generates a lot more interest than if you simply say, hey, here's this nibble and here's this nibble. If you can say it's part of a coherent, sustained effort over time, it makes an arc that is interesting and gives it a little girth. I found that in my own writing and in reactions I've had from others. The most important thing is think about your impact. What are your goals and your agenda? I've worked with many, an assistant professor, where they said, I've written my article. Now what? What's the next article? What's the next one after that? And they sort of sit back and wait for the next topic to come. If you're working on back to the sustained project where you say, look, I want to change the world. I want to change the world of youth librarianship. I want to change the world of academic librarianship. I want to change the world of acquisitions using this particular software on Thursdays, it gives you something that takes you from one to the next to the next. And that's going to also, I think, show up because it's an interest question, very well put, which is if you find data and you write it, it's like, but if you find something that you're trying to do, it makes a lot more interesting. Don't publish to get rich. I haven't heard this one yet. Don't publish. It's just hilarious. I mean, you know, I know we'd all love to be the next Harry Potter. Well, I would, just because I like to do magic. But J.K. Rowling. But the truth is that you guys don't buy enough books, including myself, right? A good academic run, a big academic run is like 2,000 books, right? And you get maybe $2 a book. Right, so do the math here. It's really a nice vacation, not a nice summer home. expand your definition of research. One of the other things that this is sort of, I'm giving you my standard line. One of the things I've had young faculty say is they've said, you know, I wrote this piece and it talks about the theory, but it doesn't have any data, so I can't, so it counted as a research article. And I said, well, when you collect the data, what will you collect it based on? Well, the theory and the literature, I said, so it's part of the research process, right? How you conceptualize something, how you think about something, how you select the questions, the trade-off of those questions, that's part of research. The articles that have the largest impact on fields, not just LIS, but fields in general, are conceptual papers. It's the ones that, you know, relativity. Einstein had his data literally of sitting, dreaming, of flying on a piece of light, right? So this is conceptual pieces. That's how we frame industries. That's how we frame things. If you frame an interesting question that you're going to answer, you might find others are willing to do it too. And back to talking to editors, this is a great way to have that conversation because editors are willing to say, it's not quite primed yet, or it needs a little bit of data. And bad editors will simply say, there's no data, and dismiss it. Good editors will come back and tell you why it's not substantial enough. I don't know if that's fair to put on you guys. All right. I am not typical, so what I'm going to show you, I don't recommend folks try at home, but you're welcome to. The little story is, so here I am, Dave Lankus, full professor, I was almost not reappointed as an assistant professor in my third year because I didn't have enough publications. So we can all learn how to do this, trust me. So I want to talk about three different types of publications, of publishing, and sort of what I talk about, the pros and cons. And the first one is the traditional papers. So this is, we're going to write a journal article. This is vital to academic promotion in our field. In certain other fields, it's not. It's actually conference. If you're in technology, an intensive technology field, conference presentations win the day. In LIS, as I've talked to many, and once again, I'm in an academic department, not in a library. You're going to have to feel it for yourself in your local institution. But by and large, it's going to be papers. As someone said, you know, books count for 5 points. Book chapters count for 3 points. Journal articles count for a million bazillion gazillion points, right? So understand that this is really one of the currency of the realms in terms of tenure. It is the most citable resource. This is the thing that you're going to get lots of citations on, or at least hope to get lots of citations on. It's the easiest to publish. And what I mean by that is the empirical data, while I don't think it in and of itself makes an interesting article, it's usually, if you have a nice constructed study that's also well conceptualized, you can push those out. I mean, I really long for the days of working in engineering where they get one data set and they just run it through 300 different variables, and each one is a paragraph long, and each one counts as a journal article. We are in the wrong field, people. But the easiest to publish are empirical pieces and project spin-off pieces. The hardest are theoretical papers. And once again, theory is hard in general, and convincing people that your theory is worth thinking about is harder. And venue does matter. I mean, there are lots and lots of journal titles for us to pick from in our various fields, and they matter. When it comes time for evaluation and citation, if you have published in Dave's Reference and Stuff, it's very different than if you published in Journal of Documentation. It doesn't matter. So what I'm going to just show you, and you can read these at your leisure. No. I just grabbed, these are my 27 journal articles. And what I wanted to show you in sort of making this real is these are the ones that were invited. Right? So why were they, and no, you don't have to read. I just want to give you a sense of scale. That's what that's about. I know you can't read. Invited papers, peer-reviewed and blind peer-reviewed is clearly still the gold standard. Whether it's open access, I would say right now, at least in my department, open access doesn't matter. In other words, electronic only, those conversations are done. They're fine. It's venue, it's not format, and it's not even mechanism. But what I wanted to point out about invited papers is the reason those are so high for me is because I work on lots of projects. And people go, oh, that's a cool project. Can you write an article for me? Oh, that's interesting. Could you write an article for me? Go to a conference and do a presentation. Go, I heard that. Could you write an article for me? That's going to get you the ability to get published. It's much different than walking in going, all right, I think I got a question today. These are the project spin-offs. So you can see, you know, between invited and project spin-offs, that's more or less most of them. I've got like three that were just sitting and writing the article and doing the bench work. And so if you're looking for how do I come up with the next thing, work on something interesting will turn into writing about something interesting will turn into being published. Second, working with publishers primarily on books. Least cited, most read. If you're looking to be very well cited and build a huge citation analysis, don't write a book. No one cites them. I don't know why. Well, maybe they do after 20 years, but they, you know.
Not right away.
The Atlas has been out for a year. It won an award. It's lovely. People think it's great. And it's been cited like 8 times, right? Ever. And so the point with books is it's a huge amount of effort. We tell untenured faculty, don't write a book because it's six months to a year out of your life just for the writing process. You're going to get it out. It's going to take at least 2 to 3 years to get. And meanwhile, I can find every journal abstract ever online, and a book's going to cost me $20 or an interlibrary loan for 3 months, and then I'm going to maybe cite it. The quality of press also matters here. This is usually when we go down to evaluation around tenure and such, oops, we're talking about who published it. Don't expect full service. Don't think that you're going to hand in this lovely bleeding publication and it's going to come back beautiful, copy edited, fixed, illustrated, and perhaps dancing for you. You will, or better yet, indexed. Would you like an index? Well, that would be X against your royalties. And so you're paying for the index. And you ultimately are going to have to, the other one, this is an author's market. These folks, you may have heard the 12 times they said if you have an idea, call them. If you want to write a book, you can write a book. If you want to get published, you can get published. The question is it going to have impact and matter? But they're desperate for content. And if you have something to say. So quick two case studies and I will shut up. The journal, the Atlas of New Librarianship was published by MIT Press and ACRL after shopping it around. And this is where, when you hear a publisher talk about be creative, I love this. Because when I had this idea, I talked to lots of publishers, and they say, well, what's it about? I said, we conceptualize in the field of librarianship. They said, would we sell that in our cataloging stream or in our public library stream? Or it didn't fit this nice little, oh, this goes to this demographic and market. And so finding the right people who said, yes, we'll play with you. Yes, we'll work on this is very important. It took about 8 months to write, and then it took 13 months to turn into a book. Yeah, they printed 4,500 of them. We sold 3,000 of them, which was nice. And we went to IMLS and through a spinoff project got $20,000 to bring down the cost of the book. Be creative. And like I say, working with publishers, when you can be creative, it works very well. The academic impact of this was very high. I was going up for promotion to full, and I could say I had an MIT Press book. I mean, I mentioned ACRL, but really, I said an MIT Press book.
Thank you.
And they went, ooh, yes, that's good. Now, that led to this one that I'm literally experimenting with today, and I have three copies left if you'd like to buy one before you leave, where I self-published it. Now, the self-publishing is great because I can control it, especially I can set the price. I was just terribly offended, and this was not ACRL or MIT. It was another publisher that no longer exists because someone named ALA bought them, where they would sell a paperback book this big, 6x9, and charge $80 for it. And I went, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, if you've ever, I've gotten people come up to me and say, why do you charge $80 for your book? I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't buy it. So gave me control. It also gave me control, better return on investment, faster production. I wrote it over 6 months. I published it in 1 week. Look at new possibilities in publishing. I now understand this at a much different level. If you want to complain about Amazon being a monopoly, try and publish a book and you'll see how Amazon is a monopoly. It's a very different perspective on things. And it matched my scope because I like the production side. So it took me about 6 months to write. 1 week of production was print on demand. We sold 165 in the first week, which is like today, yay. Part of a larger new librarianship agenda, so it's once again part of this larger agenda. I'm saying this moves, but I have no idea what the academic impact is because I'm tenured and promoted, it doesn't matter. But that's why I'm not sure if you're tenure terrified, I would say, let's try this first. Because while I love to think that I'm very innovative and on the cutting edge, I also understand that having a job and eating is important. So we will be figuring that out, though, because this model has some stuff that, I mean, even established publishers are sitting there going, no inventory. So things to think about. There's my real bottom line advice, and I will shut up.